In continuation of the video this Friday at supper, the 22nd of October, 71. Channel 2 right, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Friday at supper, the 22nd of October, 71. Channel 2 right, and a continuation of the visit with Ms. Chitty this Friday at supper, the 22nd of October, 71.
Not to really that. Not for really. They have thought of going in service, you know. Mm-hmm. Really, I said, what makes it so cranky about Barbara, the baby? He says, why? I says, well, your daddy wanted to hold Barbara. He never had her in his hand, arms, anything. I said, that sit down in the rocking chair. Taken, I put her in his arms. I said, even since then, I said, Sybil hadn't even wanted, if they wanted me to touch Bob. And she got the way she just didn't bring Barbara around to see if Willie was in service. She'd go by her mother, leave Barbara up there. I'd come and go back down, back and forth, here and now. And it looked like it hurt poor old Frank so bad to think his oldest grandchild, his oldest son's child, and he couldn't have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. But when Catherine come along, she was born in the hospital. Barbara was born over at Irvin at home. Like the rest of the mothers had their children, you know. And we was keeping Barbara. Willie'd come through from work to bring Barbara by. Believe it, you know. Boys, you didn't like the idea of sleeping next to granddaddy. And sure, I'm just like a little title kid. She was granddaddy and my Uncle Martin, Uncle Frankie, and Uncle Munro, Aunt Margaret, Uncle Lima. Just call him like Nima. And they'd be, yeah, you know, if they go back home, Willie and Sybil would sit down. Where are you, Barbara? What you doing? Daddy, I'm going to eat some victuals with Uncle Lima and Aunt Margaret.
Yeah,
we're going to eat some grub. Those Uncle Lima and Aunt Margaret.
Yeah. Hey?
Yeah, I've got some things to fix, Ms. Chitty.
We got to go around and see what's going on the place.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
Have we?
Yeah. And I'm going to get you home before dark tonight because of all the traffic. Everybody's ready.
Never I'd make us thank a lot with that to see what Christ said in me.
Now,
I thought he was going to make him a light.
Well, sometimes we need to look at something.
When we read or something at the table, we have. Well, if the potatoes are sort of cold, it's because we ran around.
You know, I'll tell you, Fame, after we visit a little bit of Mid City, I always feel like I know so much.
Yes.
And I don't really. All I know is what she told me. This boy got the tractor truck. There's one down there, isn't it?
You heard what he said when he came in.
What did he say?
Come in like a little boy, stayed in a little desk. And I flung the door and just put in my knee. Table leg, I leave you there. He come in, you know. Miss Martha says, come in.
You mean that grown boy? Are you afraid we're going to get after
him? He's now shaking his head and saying that he's done something wrong. Donnie, where had his hat on not, did he?
Oh, he took it off.
And holding his head and...
Something wrong. Both hands going to do something wrong. And then he said, I was so proud of what I was doing. I was so proud of it. And now I've done something wrong.
He was really, really put out, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. You know, that's happened to me so many times. I got stuck in the edge of the place down there, and I had to call the wrecker.
Like you couldn't take another tractor and let Ms. Myers drive the one and pull it out?
I couldn't start the other tractor, Ms. I needed that tractor to pull the other tractor off.
How come you didn't take it down the other season?
We were just making him sweat it out.
Well, you know, make a good hand, you got to be patient with him.
Well, you didn't let him sweat it out overnight, can't you?
Might not come back.
If you make it too easy for him, he won't appreciate a good thing. Oh, I can remember when I'd grown up, we did hate to get a green hand. Because he'd do a little work, but we'd have to mend everything after him. Good, babe. That okra.
That's because of Miss Judy, and that's what made us late. I had to wait. Bill had some.
Oh, we celebrate now.
She thought she lost it or left it one, because she had to think about having something in the bag besides the other stuff. She went and didn't find it.
Right in the bag.
You and Suzanne didn't help me out on that. But you didn't know.
Mm, I didn't know what to tell you to look for in the bag. I've gone so long, I began to think it was about hacking you up in there for some meat.
In the meat house down there?
That's where we had to get the okra. I was determined to get that okra.
There's some ahead of you?
There was one person ahead of me, and I thought he'd be through in a minute, and he brought out the store.
That's the way they do sometimes.
And Miss Chitty saw what he brought out.
Yeah.
Suzanne said, hey, I brought two bags. I think again, a big one and a small one. Put that in the back of the car. One bag and come out with another great little bag of stuff. Then she says, well, he must be buying a whole lot.
All meat.
I says, Maybe they're stocking up for the weekend. There's a bit they're going on party. Boating party, isn't there? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know who it was. When he went back with the wife, he told his wife, a daughter, mother, a girlfriend, whatever it was, to take candle back of the car trunk, you know, run it over there and put this in there, put that in there, put that through and say, whew. That's like you got a big ham. And finally got two piddling and paddling around back then. He shut the trunk down. He went back. Before he went, he reached down and got something out in the bag, carried and put them back in his car on the back seat. Top down, and he's just in the car, and they go off. Just then, says, maybe we ain't gonna buy them anymore. I said, I think he done bought out.
But Frankie doesn't like to shop, doesn't like to go shopping.
No, I don't know what he'd do if I had to get down and Margaret wasn't, and he had to go buy something to you. I don't know what he'd do.
You mean Frankie doesn't like to shop?
He sure never has. I used to buy stuff down there at Albert's. Coming in from Gainesville working, you know. And I tell him, well, you better. But that grocery list long day to boys, today boys, so you can buy your groceries either in Gainesville or in some cheap places coming up. Munford always take the grocery bill when it's his week to buy. He can buy stuff in Gainesville. Frankie, he day come on back to Albert's and buy it.
Well, you know, I had forgotten that. You had Albert's store down there up until the last year or so, didn't you?
And he's been quit about 5 years now.
So you didn't have to worry about the ghosts, or...
A lot of times they'd come home on Friday evening, you see. They didn't work Saturday and buy groceries on Friday night. And come. Mama and I didn't stop at Albert's. We'll go to Williston and get groceries tonight.
But he didn't get them. He didn't buy them. You always done the buying.
Oh, yeah, he'd buy them down at Albert's when I'd write grocery stuff. I know, so Albert had it, he got it, and if he didn't, why? He didn't get it.
Oh, I see. Well, you didn't have to get it, you just give Albert the list.
But he never liked to. He never liked to shop.
You know, I never went in that little store. I passed by there 2 times while it was still going. But all your family has been in there, I guess, many times.
Yes, my husband created that.
Think of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you hated to see him close up.
Well, you get to go to Williston to the A&P.
Uh-huh.
You just get things. Hey, the fastest people in the yard.
Oh.
But after Mr. A&D moved on the other side, back up on the, what do you call it? Back up. He kind of jumped up, I guess, building his new store. He had charged me.
Oh, is that right?
Things were high.
At the A&T.
Mm-hmm.
In the old store. Well, how do you know?
No, in the new store, when he got his new store built, the A&T company, they went up and about as cheap as Albert's as you would be over there.
Well, I'll be dead, man. Well, what do you know? Well, I wish they'd just stay in their old stores, Miss City.
Well, we're doing good, Miss Smart. So they grew up here, you know.
Just grew up
there,
huh?
Just grew up.
They know we got to pay it, I guess. They got it. They can get it, so. Oh, that's nice. Say, I feel so much better.
Good.
Gee, I don't know what happened to me, whether I've eaten today or not.
Well, I know for 2 days that you didn't eat lunch.
Yeah.
You got too busy, and that's not right.
No, just sit through lunch is not right, is it? You know, I wouldn't know Mr. Albert or Mr. Albert, either one, if I was to see him. Now, isn't that something? As much as I've been out in that country, I've seen them, you know, but I just barely seen them, and I don't know them.
If you still see him, hear him talking, you'd know him next time you see him. I stutters a good bit.
Yeah. Now, is he the one that had the store?
And his brother, Albert, lives. Going back. You know who
he is? He lives next to Cecil Pardee. Albert?
On the corner of the road.
Yeah.
But Cecil Pardee is crossroads again. Albert's down on this side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Albert, no, he's out.
Now, where does Albert live? He lives down there by the store?
He lives kind of down the bottom. Yes, the store's right by the house, almost.
Yeah. And that's in the bottom. You see, Faye, we got the bottom.
Yes, we got the bottom. It should have said. Yeah. Bad to know about the bottom.
Well, you know where you turn. Turn off the Alva Road to come up by the Shiloh Methodist Church and all.
Uh-huh.
Now I think Albert's up on that corner. Well, this road goes right on through McIntosh to Williston, Waukee, somewhere. Albert lives on this corner here. And Cecil Pardee lives back up here.
Towards you. they're pretty good sized men, aren't they? Both those trial boys.
Well, Mr. Albert, he's tall and used to be pretty stout, but I think he's had a spell here lately and he's kind of slimmed up, and Mr. Albert, he's not as stout as he used to be, and he's short a bit, chunky.
Oh, he is. He is. Well, I thought he was pretty good-sized fella, too. Oh. Well, now, you see, that's all I know about it. They didn't get a start till. Did you know that, Pappy? No.
Then what?
Did you know their family?
No, not. I didn't know the Zitler family long.
You didn't know their daddy?
Well, I knew him, but I didn't associate with him yet. Didn't visit around with him.
Yeah.
And his father was tall, so.
Yeah.
And wore mustache. Albert Zetrow married one of Frank's cousins, daughter, which made her Frank's cousin too.
Well, the daddy, what'd you call him?
Zetrow?
Yeah. Did he ever make any money?
Them Zip Browns, they make it, and they said I'm on it.
Oh, they keep it. They don't let it go.
But if they pay you, they're going to tell you they pay you so much for that. They pay you. They don't pay you any more of that.
Yeah. But now, these boys' daddy had a little money. He made a little money himself.
Oh, yeah. Got his three boys and one girl. Didn't have but three children.
Yeah.
Two boys and one girl.
Two boys and one girl.
And old man, Rimsart Zetrow, owned the whole, I don't know how much land from where his son lived down on the road, going from our house to Meganoke. You see, Albert owns land in Marion County and Lodgewood County. And they all, now Albert, he hasn't had any children. His wife had one son by another marriage. But they don't have any. Any children like Jill. I think she was a knight when Albert married her.
Well, now, when you came up here from down the country, old man Zetrow, he was already pretty well off and had all that property.
I finished all but a little swallow of milk, and I enjoyed it.
How was it? We finally got the okra.
can't think of her name, but it was Harold Davis's wife cut it, and somebody, Margaret called some. But if they don't have Harold Davis and his wife, go with her, I believe, and they don't have no phone they have. But they've got a neighbor right close to them that they've got a phone. They get a message for the Davises, or they run over them. Give them to Loretta had cut the oak greens, got just about a quart. But it was good. It was a big quart, too. And it's all about the same size pod.
Yeah.
So when she come back, I went over and told a South colored woman, a man who it was Mark Cockcruz, she told him that if Doretha Davis, anyway, they always called him, can't even think of his nickname now, but anyway, her husband. And then Doretha told about what she had, you know, and called back. And she's the one that asked Frankie if he knew what cassava was.
Oh.
And how says, why, Doretha? Says, I'm not born and raised, you might say, cassava patch.
She got the right man to ask, didn't she?
Harold says, Doretha, you know, Miss Cheese grew cassava. Frank says, yes, says, you know, you got cassava from us right after Daddy died. She said, you know, yeah, I forgot it. The butter's been growing it right on.
I'd like to have some right this minute.
So Margaret, not that Betty Ann tried to peel or cut that up, because she was likely to lose too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get it fixed up tomorrow, maybe. Get pudding fixed out of it. Out of the roots, you know. Here, I'll get.
What else is Judy
going to
eat,
babe?
She's finished.
I'm finished.
Well, we're going to get home before dark.
Almost stick my finger down there and touch it.
Yeah. And we're going to get her home before dark, as I promised.
I'm just so comfortable now. I just don't care what I'm moving up.
I guess I never knew you had to save those corn, those canes, sugar cane seeds and things. I guess I never knew that.
Yes, ma'am.
Saving seeds.
What then? Take, cut down the stalks by, getting by the armful. Kept off close to the ground, you know, and got him a place fixed out over there and put it in there. Keep on going to get this better seed cane, maybe as long as it's room, and then another bed about half as long from side to side, you know. And he's had cassava. And I know it'd be more than this room. Maybe it's wrong from here to the back of that room.
Yeah.
The place dug out in the field, you know, where the hogs and cows want me to get in there and put cane fodder. And you can get his cassava, and that grows, I say, grows show Mr. Miles. And a bunch of them, he's getting down high, and nobody never know where he is, or he was.
Is that right?
The kids just pray hide and go seek in their dad's cassava patch. That's the house.
Oh.
He hollering, I didn't say. Don't you break one limb off of that now. Careful about running and dodging here and yonder. The time you see them here and you go to looking for them, they're way down now to come in on this side of the heart, not in.
Yeah.
Well,
that was a good place to hide out in the cassava patch.
Yes.
Well, I declare,
good place to run when you thought they were going to get a whipping dip. I can't eat my piece of cinnamon now, Miss Miles. I speak to you.
It's all right. You did it.
I just eat all I can.
I wish I could see a cassava patch.
And it was a good place for the children to run when they thought they'd go get a
hooker. Yes, sir. Way back years when they need whippings for things, but as they got grown up, grown, no better to do things to run high for. They didn't do them no good run high.
No.
Of course, when they come out, Daddy was right there with a switch. One thing, he didn't use no stick. Or a belt or anything. We always got them good long cane peach tree.
That would just tickle them, just sting a little.
Mm, if you hit hard enough, if you bring some stripes on them. I've dug for them many a time. Times I knew they needed it, I'd back off our channel and bell about as much as they were.
Yeah.
I cried for them with begged or not.
But they didn't know you did.
Sometimes it would. One that wasn't getting whipping probably would be around looking and seeing you crying. And you just do these things for Daddy to have to whip you. Why? Well, because you know when Mama knows that he's whipping us in the wrong, she'll talk up. Well, she don't know. And she knows we're getting whipped and she's off yonder crying. They'd take up for one another. They'd fuss and fight with one another.
Yeah. I got that idea from Willie that they had, all of them had scuffled pretty much themselves, amongst themselves.
They had some pretty rough fights amongst themselves.
Yeah.
And they don't do any good to beg and plead with them. It's like they're sitting just like two old roosters or young roosters that are going to fight it out. I got with them there one night. I sold up the house we're living in now. I was living in the same house, but it was turned the other way and had that long shed on the side. I took in something, I don't know what it was, not. William Martin, I got into it. And Daddy, he come in to undertake to stop him. And then went out the door and hung, grabbed me a chair and went out behind me. I said, stop right now. I'll knock them both down.
And they listened to you.
They'd back off, kept ground, and I said, all right, just keep it up. I said, so we get in between you with this chair. I said, and just start, I'm going to whine you both away. But see, I had the feeling that I wouldn't have to hit them with the chair, you know. But they knew whenever they got me riled up,
yeah,
things were pretty hot.
Oh, they knew that.
And that was one time that I got with him.
You didn't wait for Mr. Frank to settle that.
He went in there to settle it. I stopped it, but he didn't. And I grabbed the chair. I said, all right. I said, stop, shut up, and quit your foolishness. I said, I'm tired of it. And they said something, and I run out between them right with the chair. I said, all right, now, come on. And I made the chair just to them.
You was mad you shake it.
Mad I shake. And then you were mad too. You know, that shaking didn't mean just I was scared of them or anything. I was so mad. Well, one was right in a way, and the other one was right in a way. The other one was wrong on one side, and the other one was. You couldn't convince them.
Yeah.
Either way. No,
but that was right there in your family.
Right there in the family.
Yeah.
No outsiders knew what was going on.
You didn't, nobody lived close enough to you. They couldn't even hear what you were doing.
Well, yeah, Margaret and Layman lived in the old house just above us there.
Oh, they were big boys.
Sure, they were big boys.
Yeah.
Oh, they're fighting, whipping, running, tearing, tumbling. Take things apart. This was for any boys even thought of going in service. And I thought we were sitting at supper table one night. Well, Willie wasn't even married then, not this time. Because he went up to Perry and stayed up there with his Uncle Eddie and worked a while. And I don't know, we just looked like there for a while, everything was going wrong. Didn't get nothing to go right. And finally, when war come, well, Willie, he drove up, you know, more. And him and Sybil got married. He lived down at Irving. And he was living down at Irving when Barbara was born. Well, when he got him a job. I don't know why. Oh, I think somebody over there about Archer, that's where it was.
The bomb factory.
Over the bomb plant. Well,
shell
plant.
When did he live over there close to Everett there? Everett. He lived in that house, one of those houses.
When he lived there, dear. Daddy died.
Yeah, that's after the war.
Yes.
Well, was he working over there, Mr. Jerry?
Where? Over at the
Everett.
No. No, I was working there for Mr. Smith. Who? I don't think he's all together working for everything. More work for Everett's daddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And anyway, Martin, Frankie, and Monroe was all working in Gainesville.
Yeah.
But when Frank died, the boys, of course, were all well, when we had came to the hospital in McIntosh, we always called it the butcher house. Because I don't believe Strange treated Frank right, even while he was there.
Well, the boys were all grown though then, weren't they?
Yes, and see, they'd all been in service and was back home.
That's right. They weren't,
and we didn't have no phones then. You had to go either foot it or get somebody that had a car to take you, or ride a bicycle. To get word to Willie.
I'm waiting for Miss Kitty to see whenever she's
ready. I'm ready to go in time because I don't
know. Miss Kitty, what did you. We were talking about that on the way home the other night. The last time I went with you. Don't you remember all those nice, pretty new trailers down there in the bottom? And you said they belonged to the niggers.
I suppose they do. It's colored people's land.
And that the government of the welfare buys them?
I reckon it does, because they're going to help them.
Yes.
They're going to help them nigger quicker than they were in court.
Yes.
Now, some of them, they are young husbands, young wives. Got a house full of children.
Yeah.
And maybe some of them are claiming, well, my daughter, she husband gone over here in the service. And you don't get enough sent home to her to live on. But don't they know that the government ain't going to put up with the relief of the welfare of paying them when they know good and well that they're getting money elsewhere. They work and they make good wages. If they don't, I don't know what's the matter with them. But they are. They're actually happy. A lot of colored people out there in our community.
Who are already making good wages.
Got good jobs, making good wages. And they're paying, a lot of them drawing a pension. Of course, they're old enough to draw a pension, like me, you know, they call
it. And they help them buy them trailers.
And going out of a pole. If they going to come out and drive around in the communities out there and look and see.
Yeah.
Break your record.
Who was that colored woman that worked for Uncle Martin? You remember who you're talking about, don't you?
That little ain't Susan Fraser, she.
Was that Aunt Susan? Well, you haven't had much contact with the colored people since then.
Not much. They don't hire any of them. Margaret was talking to Annie, another colored woman, old colored woman, that washed for us long back when the kids was coming along. Nanny was a little thing. She was talking to her here when she come back. I think probably the second time I had to go back to the doctor, you know, for a checkup after I got out of the hospital. And Annie, she's walking around and said, Margaret, you know, it's a long time since I seen you. Said, oh, so that Miss Chitty. Thank you, Miss Chitty, I don't know when. I've been a long time, Annie, since you seen me. And Margaret got talking to her about coming in. Working in the house, you know, like iron, and Margaret does wash it. You'd have to knock her down, poke her in something to keep her away from the washing machine when wash day comes. And anyway, she did wash it. Get in to do the ironing and mop the floors, you know, like those leads on the mopping when she stayed there, and the ironing too. That's big help to Margaret. And a lot of cooking for me. And Margaret fixed things, bring down. Well, it's help out both ways. So, Marcy was talking to Seth. I don't know, Marcy, to say where I can get off or when. I said, we'll let you know. And right in the back of my head, hang on, Sylvia. Hush your own grandmammy and her mammy, and just as slick as a grease being around in your house, you know what gonged or gone, and when it gonged. But all you can do is let so and so, so and so, pick it up.
I didn't quite get that, Miss City. And his mother and...
Her mother and grandmother, they were all sticky fingers. Colored women.
Yeah. Well, now...
But now Susan, she hardly ever took anything. That
I don't think I ever ran into any of these colored people who really take things.
Many of them down there around Fleming's, I can go down there looking for them. You'll find plenty of niggers down there that steal from the
well,
thing.
Well, now, yes, but I mean,
and
back
then
when you're talking
about. And then Frank is telling Mark was telling Frank, and he says, oh, great God, and he says, I don't want that nigger in the house, much less.
Oh.
Why, Frank? Says, well, Mark says, don't you know wherever she goes to work, them boys of hers is white, that hanging on. You can't get nothing done out of it.
Yeah.
And they're just taking up things they ain't got no business taking.
Yeah, and cleaning up your kitchen and whatnot.
And you'd have to feed them too. Maybe Annie'd say, now so-and-so, you do so-and-so now, while I go do so-and-so. And so-and-so, you do so-and-so, while I do so-and-so, we get through with it quicker.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, they're all they can pack in the pockets, you know.
Yeah.
Stomach full, and they're ready to go.
You told me you didn't know Gertrude down there.
I've heard of her, but I don't.
Well, Willie worked with her, you see. He worked out the field with her.
I don't know, Willie. Worked with all them the colored women and colored girls down there. They all come up and sing.
Huh?
All of the kids, my kids and them colored girls and women, they all come up and
They all come up together.
But still, they don't make them perfect.
No.
Yes, they'd probably think I wasn't perfect either, but
well,
they didn't try to steal anything from anybody.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, this is some okra, frozen. It's cut up. You got fried.
Okay.
You got room to in your freezer for it?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And I guess your Pepsi.
Okay. We're gonna take a ride. I keep looking for my cow. I got two nails, one in here and one in there.
This is my dessert.
Oh, that's your dessert?
That's the snuff that she's going to take home. She'll ride home on that. That's the end of the visit with Miss Chitty. This Friday at supper, the 22nd of October, 71, Channel 2 over. Channel 2 right. Channel 2 right. I don't know, around 800, 700, between 700 and 800. And the end of the visit with Miss Chitty this Friday, at supper the 22nd of October, 71, with Suzanne. Cookie came in. Mark never did. This is channel 2 right, around between 700 and 800. And the end of the visit with Ms. Chitty and Suzanne and Cookie for a few minutes this Friday, the 22nd of October, 71.